one verse tonight in our Bibles. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Dave, I don't think I'll move too much. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. If you have your Bibles, you can remain seated tonight. We'd like to just read one verse together. And I know some of you don't have a Bible with you, so I'll just go ahead and read it, and we'll make some comments and get to the message very quickly. I promise you that. Amen. The program itself speaks volumes. Amen. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." And boy, that's a sermon right there in itself. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is God's unmerited favor to you. We mentioned it this morning. It's sheerly by grace that you were born in America, where food is plenteous. Amen? Where medicine is plenteous. Where you can get the finest medical care. Where you have citizenship and rights and privileges. Strictly by the grace of God. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Father, bless now in just this brief time in your word. Thank you for the message of the cantata, that true riches are only found in Jesus Christ. Lord, bless now is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. The epistle of 2 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul. Of course, written by the Holy Spirit, penned by the Apostle Paul. And Paul, so many things about him were great. He was a great student. The Bible says that he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees and studied at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the great teachers during New Testament times. Do you know, to be a Pharisee, you had to memorize the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Memorize them. So he was a great student. Something else he was great at, he was a great persecutor of the church. The Bible says in Acts chapter 8, verse 3, that he made havoc of the church. He made it his business to try to stomp out Christianity. He said himself that he was a great sinner. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, he talked about how that he was the chiefest of sinners. And you know what else he was according to 1 Corinthians 15:10, which says, "I am what I am by the grace of God." He was a recipient of God's great grace. You know, Christmas time is all about God's grace. It's all about God's grace. God's grace, what is that, Pastor? God's grace is God's unmerited favor towards you. That's what his grace is. Did you know you didn't deserve grace? It was God in his good nature to give it to you. God is so gracious. And here in our text, right in the middle of the text, there's a three-letter phrase I want to focus on tonight. And it's the three-letter phrase, "for your sakes." The whole earthly life of Jesus Christ, from his birth in Bethlehem to his death on the cross, was for your sakes. Seven quick things tonight, and they'll be quick, I promise. First thing, for your sakes, he was born in Bethlehem. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ was the adored one of heaven. He was the one that the angel said of him, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty." And yet he was born in a stable because there was no room in the inn. Why, Pastor? For your sakes. For my sakes. For our sakes, he was born in Bethlehem. For our sakes, number two, he was not only born in Bethlehem, he was tested by temptation. The Bible records in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus being in the wilderness 40 days and tempted of the devil. And three times the devil tempted him. And all through his life he was tempted and tested just like we are, yet without sin. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15 tells us. He was tested by temptation. He was born in Bethlehem. According to our text here, he was poor in possessions. One day a man came up to Jesus and he said, "I'll follow you anywhere." And Jesus said, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Jesus had nothing on earth that we would call possessions. No home, no chariot, no horse to ride around in. He had nothing. He was born in Bethlehem. He was tested by temptation. He was poor in possessions. He was showered with suffering for our sakes. For our sakes. For your sakes. For my sakes. He was showered. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, verse 3, that he's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He is despised and rejected of men. And by his stripes we are healed. He's showered with suffering. Something else for our sakes. He was crucified on Calvary, wasn't he, folks? He was crucified on the cross not to be a good deed, or not to do a good deed, not to be a good man, not to be a martyr, but for our sakes, because we as sinners could not ascend to heaven. He reached down, died on the cross for us. John 3:16 says it all, doesn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was showered with suffering. He was crucified on Calvary. He was poor in possessions. He was tested by temptation. He was born in Bethlehem. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is the only one that was raised in righteousness. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the cross is not the end. If you come to our church, you will certainly see a cross, but you'll never see one with Jesus on it, because he's not on the cross. Amen. See, he went into a tomb, and 72 hours later, in power and glory, he rose from the dead for our sakes. The Bible says in Romans 4:25 that he was raised for our justification. Lastly, not only was he born in Bethlehem, tested by temptation, poor in possession, showered with suffering, crucified on Calvary, raised in righteousness, but ladies and gentlemen, for our sakes, he's going to return to rescue us. You see, if you're here today and you've been born again by the Spirit of God, you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible says, just as sure as Jesus came the first time, he's going to come again. And listen to what Jesus said. As he told his disciples of his death coming up on the cross, he said to them these blessed words that have been quoted by millions of tombstones. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. What's Jesus been doing for our sakes for 2,000 years? He's been preparing a place called heaven. But not only say, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Ladies and gentlemen, just as sure as years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, there were people that said, ah, years ago the prophets told that and it hasn't come to pass yet. There are people today that say, ah, yeah, he was born in Bethlehem, but hey, he's not coming back. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't believe there's one person here tonight that doesn't believe he was born in Bethlehem. I want to tell you, he's coming back, like he said. And he's coming back to rescue all those that are his. So here's my question in closing. Are you his? Are you his? You say, what do you mean, Pastor? The Bible says a person has to know four things to make sure they're on their way to heaven. Four simple things. You need to understand that everybody's a sinner. You're looking at a sinner tonight. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. But here's the thing. If you can't get to that point where you understand that you do things that offend God, heaven cannot be your home. Secondly, you have to not only understand that you're a sinner, but you need to understand that Jesus Christ demands a righteous payment for sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. If we die without Christ and leave this physical body, we have to pay for our sins. Terrible thought. Terrible thought to God, too. That's why he sent his only begotten Son, to pay for the sins of all mankind. on the cross of Calvary. We quoted it. We quoted it, Romans 5:8. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, Pastor, you said there was four things. That's only three. We're all sinners. There's a payment for sin. Jesus Christ made our payment. The fourth thing is this. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, it's a simple act by faith where you recognize you're a sinner and can't get to heaven on your own, and you trust Jesus Christ by faith. To trust Him, to rely on Him, to depend on Him. I remember the day I did it. It was so simple, Brother Becker. I said, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Please save me. And He did. Just like that. How do you know, Pastor? By faith and by the Word of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. See, what's going to happen when we get to the end of our lives and we stand before God and God says, why should I let you into heaven? I'll have to say, Brother Salmon's in my hand, no price I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the only reason anybody's saved is because they trusted Jesus Christ and His payment for us. Are you His? Are you His? If you're trusting in your baptism, you're not His. If you're trusting in your good life and your morality, you're not His. You're yours. I'd rather be His. You see, I'm not looking at my good life to get me to heaven. I'm looking at His good life. It was the only way. The only way He lived and He died on that cross and He raised again. And this is what He says. It's so simple. Just come. Just come. Can we bow our heads, close our eyes? Mrs. Heath's going to come to the piano.